clown country today. Has never been more evident what a clown country we live in today. This has been one of the worst displays, the nature of this clown country, I've ever seen. From a hearing on the assassination of Donald Trump, where only maybe 25% of the hearing was actually about the assassination attempt of Donald Trump, to His Excellency, that's a quote from the speaker, His Excellency Benjamin Netanyahu. No, keep the clown music. Oh, yeah, I want that on. Yeah, come on. His Excellency Netanyahu gets more security, more protection, and more attention than anyone else ever by the U.S. Congress. More attention, more security than Donald Trump. More attention, more security than January 6th. He's just number one. He's His Excellency. Oh, my, yes. And then I got protesters outside tearing down the American flag. And then they tell Trump, oh, you can't have rallies anymore. They're too big, and we just can't secure them. And then they turn this entire hearing, where we're begging for answers, and they turn it into a political stunt, a political charade, begging for gun control, talking about Russia stealing elections, claiming the COVID lab leak was a conspiracy theory, a hoax. What are we here to talk about? All right, so let's go live. Let's pick this up live. We're going to continue live coverage of the hearing ongoing right now with FBI Director Christopher Wray on the attempt to assassinate Donald Trump. Go ahead. Send in the clowns. Give me the clown audio. Now give me the hearing audio. Come on.
They had people coordinating, working with each other and talking with each other because they knew it was a risk. So we chose a site that was difficult. The president did, and I thought it was a great site. But nevertheless, the law enforcement responded properly. Something went wrong here. You can't blame this on Donald Trump as well.
Oh, they have been. The Democrats blamed it all on Trump. They blamed the assassination attempt on Trump.
Law enforcement to make sure that he was safe, period. And I'm sure you'll find out why. On another tangent here, you know, I've got to wonder how many qualified people were passed in order for Director Cheadle to get her 30% quota. That's a lousy way to run an agency, especially when it's dealing with law enforcement, to say we've got to have 30% of anything. And I worry about these practices because it's policy over protection. And Director Wray, I know that some things were left to you. I understand that. But one of your early acts on the Biden presidency was hiring the FBI's very first chief diversity officer. And since that time, and even before your time, and you're going to disagree with me, but respectfully, I'm going to disagree with you. Recruitment standards under your lead has resulted in deterioration in many areas, including physical fitness, illicit drug use, financial irregularities, mental health issues, full-time work experience, and integrity. And I know you dismissed them, but in October 2023, they are a prestigious group of retired FBI special agents and analysts both expressed concern regarding the FBI's willingness to recruit agents that, quote, I'm not saying this, they said it, not me, can't even pass the new relaxed standards for fitness, who are illiterate in some cases and need lessons, educational lessons, don't want to work weekends or after hours, their words, and have serious disabilities or mental health issues, which is not the place for them. Most of your agents are great people. I love them. I love them for what they do. I'm not criticizing most. But these new standards, don't you think this is a hindrance and reduces the morale of the vast majority of good people that you have in the FBI?
And so this is a perfect example of the clown country we're in. We're sitting here talking about standards, which is an obvious issue. Yeah, they lowered the standards to be a federal agent. They lowered the standards to be a Secret Service agent so that they can have more women in charge or whatever. Yeah, that's an obvious thing. Duh. Can we get serious here for a second? Somebody just tried to blow Trump's head off. And nobody's even asking the questions that we need answers to. Now nobody's even there. I mean, this is a joke.
I do want to tell you about InfoWars MD. Discover the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulas cater to diverse needs. We have Ageless Vitality Collagen, Superfood Greens, Mushroom Max, Turmeric 95, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, CBD, Full Spectrum 10 and 25 milligram gummies, as well as so much more. The premium InfoWars Lifeline. It's InfoWars MD, and it's available now 25% off at InfoWarsStore.com. I suggest the collagen, and just search it yourself. I'm not going to make any medical claims here, but search the importance of collagen in the aging process and see why taking collagen as a supplement can be perhaps the most powerful thing you do to reverse the signs of aging.
Of censorship, Owen Schroyer is the light. This is the War Room. Watch it live right now at AmericanElection.news.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the InfoWars War Room. Brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com, your election headquarters, with 104 days till the presidential election. The fastest 3 hours on the internet is actually going to be the fastest 6 hours on the internet today, because we're going live for 6 hours. Now, I got a ton of stuff to cover in my 3 hours. I got Roger Stone coming up. I got John Cullen coming back on to talk about his further response to the hearings and everything else. I got the hearing going live right now. We're going to go back to that. This thing has been a clown show. I got Netanyahu being called His Excellency by the Speaker in the House. What an embarrassment. King Netanyahu, the man that owns Congress. It's just disgusting. And then I got protesters outside tearing down the American flag. I am in clown country. I am just short of missing my red afro, my big red nose. I do have my horn. Maybe I need one of those little lapels that squirts water in your eye. I mean, I should just go full clown country with what I'm witnessing today. And then the hearing that's supposed to be about the assassination attempt on Donald Trump, we have a lot of questions. About 25% of it, maybe less, was even about that. Probably less, actually. Most of it was Democrats grandstanding for gun control. Most of it was Democrats blaming right-wingers for political violence, blaming Trump for the assassination attempt. And then Republicans trying to go outside the lines, talking about diversity or other. I mean, this is just ridiculous. And then the only 5 minutes that was like rock solid was Thomas Massie's. You can't even find it anywhere. Matt Gaetz was probably pretty good. So you had Massie that gets an A, then you had Gaetz that gets a B, and then, of course, the Democrats attack Gaetz and claim he's a sex abuser. I mean, this whole thing is a clown show. Meanwhile, we don't get hardly any answers. Now, we did get a couple interesting answers. Of the hours of the hearing, we have had a couple of answers. I'll give those to you momentarily, but let's go back live to this clown show. We'll cover this thing till it's over. I mean, can we get anything? Please, we have questions about the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. Obvious questions. Can we get anything from the FBI director who's now running the investigation? We go back live.
Not involved in the physical security of the rally. That's, you know, we come in as the investigators afterwards.
Oh, my gosh, this has already been covered.
Our investigation is an investigation of the shooter and his attack. There are separate investigations, the Inspector General of DHS and this outside independent panel that's been announced that would be looking at the Secret Service's performance. And those, I think, will be important to trust and confidence, if you will, in Secret Service. But from the FBI perspective, we can't promise that everybody's going to like the results of what we do, right? What we can promise is that we're going to do our best to do the work in the right way. That's all we can do. And so I keep telling our folks every day on this and on everything else, our focus has to be, we got to do the work in the right way. We got to make sure we do the work in the right way, and then no matter who likes it, because everything we do, somebody doesn't like it.
And it's a credibility issue at this point. Do the American people trust what the FBI and the DOJ is going to tell them? And, you know, that's the thing with this over when I was early on, and I've only been here about 3.5-4 years now, but the American people was the fear of the weaponization of government. So now we have this issue. Tucker Carlson asked the president, he said, are you afraid they'll kill you? And I remember that interview, and I thought, wow, I can't believe he went there. But here we are. And so as we work through this process, I think it's so important, and I think the chairman hit on this, is the audio of the shooter. You've interviewed the sniper, the Secret Service sniper that took out the target. Was he waiting on a green light? What was going on, and why did Mr. Crooks have a chance to get off 8 rounds? And we knew he was on the rooftop. I don't know for how long, but we know he was a marked target. So was he trying to get the green light, and was somebody not giving it to him?
So, again, the performance, the adequacy of the performance of Secret Service will be the subject of the Inspector General investigation and this outside independent panel.
Answer
the
question.
I can tell you, and I'm glad you asked the question, because this goes to something that we that was part of an earlier exchange. The first time that anybody from law enforcement saw the subject on the roof was a few minutes before the shooting, not with a gun. They didn't at that point.
Right,
they didn't.
Right.
But they local law enforcement a few minutes before saw him on the roof and started radioing.
Did he have a backpack going up the roof? Did they?
Well, nobody has. We haven't found anybody yet who saw him climbing up the roof. The reason why I've talked about how we think he got on the roof is that's based on forensic, our evidence response to and forensic analysis. Without getting into all the details, footprints and things like that we can, fingerprints, et cetera, that we can see how he got on. But we don't have an eyewitness at the moment who saw him climbing up. So a few minutes before the shooting, local law enforcement saw him on the roof. Again, no weapon identified at that point.
This is crazy.
A few seconds before the shooting is when the law enforcement officer that I've talked about already is the one who was assisted by another officer who saw up on the roof, saw the shooter in a prone shooting position with the gun. He turns.
How long did that happen before?
That was that sighting. That is the first time, to my knowledge, the first time anybody from law enforcement saw him with a weapon. That is seconds before he shot at President Trump.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I yield back.
So did the counter-sniper not see the bad guy, the shooter, until after he fired a shot?
You mean until after the subject fired a shot?
Until after the shooter?
I don't know the answer to that. It's possible we've already determined that, but as I sit here right now, I don't have that. But I can,
I think that's a logical next question with where the gentleman from Alabama's question was going. The gentleman from California is recognized for 5 minutes.
Finally, some legitimate question and answers.
How close did the assassin's bullet come to killing President Trump?
My understanding is that either it or some shrapnel is what grazed his ear. So I don't know that I have the actual
very, very
distance.
Close, though.
What's that?
Very, very close, you would agree.
Yes.
Is this the biggest security failure that you've seen in your career?
Ooh. Well, certainly I think former Director Cheadle has already, acknowledged that this was a significant operational failure. I forgot her exact words, but I will defer on that. I think
we really haven't seen
itself.
Anything like this in at least decades in this country, right?
The attempted assassination of a president, current or former, is a historic event.
Was this a sophisticated plot that Thomas Crooks carried out?
Well, I think probably depends on your definition of sophisticated, right? So on the one hand, he's a 20-year-old, seems to, from what we've seen so far, loner, without a lot of elaborate criminal history, without any criminal history or anything like that. On the other hand, he did clearly do some level of planning and recon.
When did the planning start, to the best of your knowledge?
What's that?
When did the planning start?
Well, we're still drilling into that, but we know
we assess that that on July 6th,
so a week in advance.
For example, it seems to be that he seems to become very focused on it, because that's when, as I've testified here today, that's when the laptop that we've tied to him has the Google search. How far away was Oswald from Kennedy?
I mean, that seems like an indication of a total amateur, right? Someone who's searching for that, and he's doing it a week in advance.
Again, I don't want to characterize him. I frankly don't want to give him the credit of characterizing him as amateur or professional. But what I will say is that there are some things he did that involve a certain amount of planning and preparation. On the other hand, if you're telling me, do I think this is the most sophisticated ever? Of course not. We deal with much more sophisticated adversaries all the time.
And you probably prepare for more sophisticated plans to target high-level officials.
I'm sorry, could you...
You probably prepare for more sophisticated plans to target high-level officials, correct?
We don't do physical security, but yes, obviously we're investigating much more sophisticated attacks all the time.
How about the encrypted applications on his phone? Were those there for a while, or did he download them in the days or weeks leading up to the assassination attempt?
I don't have the answer to that sitting here right now. I think it may vary from platform to platform, because he had a number of encrypted messaging apps on it. And again, as I've said, we're trying to get access to that content. And that's important. I think it's important for everybody on this committee to understand that this is a real problem for law enforcement. That these companies, let's be clear here, these companies are designing their platforms in a way to, no matter how heinous the crime, no matter how rock solid the legal process,
I'm running out of time,
get access.
So I want to get the next question. At this moment, are you confident that high-level protectees, presidents, former presidents, are well protected?
Well, it's not really for me to say. I have a lot of respect for the men and women of the Secret Service who provide protection, just as I do for their counterparts at other agencies.
You can't say one way or the other, your assessment as director of the FBI, whether the president is safe?
I'm not an expert on protective details and physical security. What I would tell you is that we have a very robust system for sharing threat information with those agencies, and that in my experience, the men and women of the Secret Service are professionals who are hardworking, who are literally willing to take a bullet for their protectee.
You mentioned a thwarted assassination attempt against former President Bush. Are there any other thwarted assassination attempts against current or former presidents that you could discuss?
Not that immediately come to mind, but, I'd have to go back and think about that. I mean, obviously we've been around for a while, and current and former presidents are high-profile targets who are attractive to all kinds of bad guys.
Sure. There's also been reports that the shooter's parents called a local law enforcement to say he was missing on the day of the shooting. Is that correct? And if so, is that something that you would see as a sort of a natural thing for them to do? It seems like a 20-year-old who's been missing for a few hours, maybe his parents don't, first thing they do, call the police. What was going on with that situation?
So my recollection, I don't have this in front of me, my recollection is they did call, concerned that he was missing. My recollection, though, is that they didn't call until, this was after the event.
I see. But I'm
not certain of that, so I want to, hedge on that slightly, because I have to get back to you to be confirmed.
How are you
that.
Not certain
I
of that?
I believe that part of the issue was that...
10 days later, how do you not know that?
When he last saw his father... He, I think, indicated to his father that he was going to shoot at the range. And then, of course, he didn't go to the range and he didn't come back from that. And so I think that may have added to the level of concern.
Thank you. I yield back.
Gentleman yields back. Gentlelady from Wyoming is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director Ray, I'm going to go a little bit different route with my questioning. In testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee in December of last year, you stated that the FBI is, quote, especially concerned about the possibility of Hamas supporters engaging in violence on the group's behalf, end quote, and that the threat from a, quote, terrorist organization who may exploit the attacks in Israel as a tool to mobilize their followers around the world.
Go ahead and pot that down, then. I'm not here to hear about Hamas or Israel. Thank you, Representative Hageman. This is a hearing on the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, and so great. Now we're dealing with the Israel-Palestine conflict again. Yay. Can't get enough of that. Trying to figure out what led to a bullet nearly blowing Trump's head off. But hey, let's talk about Israel-Palestine because, you know, just that just dominates everything. That's just the biggest issue in the world, isn't it? So we'll come back to that. Now, this thing started at 10 a.m. They took a recess early on because there was another legislative process. That recess lasted about 30 minutes. They came back. They were on for another hour or so. They took another recess to go listen to His Excellency, the King of Congress, the man that owns Congress, Netanyahu. And then they recently just got back as we went on 20 minutes ago. And for the most part, there has virtually been nothing given to us from this hearing. Virtually nothing. The only thing of any value that we've gotten from this press conference are that they have recovered 8 bullet casings from the roof where the shooter was. That's about the biggest thing we've gotten. They still can't even give us a story on the ladder. They did confirm he had a ladder, but then they can't say if it was in the car or if it was somewhere on the grounds. What? So you know there was a ladder, but you don't know where you found it. It's not like the shooter moved it after he's dead. So explain that one to me. Okay, he did have a ladder, but we don't know where it was, but it wasn't in the car and it wasn't set up for him to climb on the roof. But you don't know where it was. 10 days later, into the investigation, you don't know where the ladder was. You found it. You know there was a ladder, but you don't know where it was. Explain that to me. Then Ray says that he has sat down with the counter-sniper team that killed the shooter. But then he says he doesn't know when the counter-sniper had the shooter in his sight. Well, how do you not know that? That seems like a pretty imperative question to ask him, pretty big piece of information to ask him about when did you have the shooter in your sight. Couldn't give us that answer. And perhaps more ridiculous, Ray, when asked where was the counter sniper located that shot the man on the roof, he said he didn't know. He said he didn't know. How do you not know that? Seems like, let's see, if I'm sitting down with the man that killed the would-be assassin, what are the most important pieces of information I would want to get out of that investigation? Where were you stationed, and when did you know he was on the roof? I mean, is that not 1-2? Would that not be number one, number two? And he says he doesn't know. How does he not know that? So was it the counter-sniper team that was located on the rooftops behind Donald Trump? Or was it the counter-sniper team that was located on the rooftop on the other side of the fairgrounds of the shooter? He doesn't know. But he talked. He did an extensive interview with the counter-sniper that took out the would-be assassin. But he doesn't know that or when he had him in his sights. How is that possible? Now, that's pretty much it. As far as relative new information from this hearing about the attempted assassination that's been hours long, that's pretty much all we've gotten, folks. The rest of this hearing has been about Democrats pushing gun control. The rest of this hearing has been about Democrats claiming that Russia is going to steal the election. I kid you not. The rest of this hearing has been about Democrats claiming that the lab leak hoax dealing with COVID-19 was a hoax, and what is the FBI doing about it? Yeah, that's what they spent their time on, folks. COVID-19, Russia stealing elections, and gun control. Oh, and they also blamed Republicans for all the political violence, and they blamed Trump for his own assassination attempt. That's what the Democrats spent their time on. And then the Republicans just kind of fluffed around asking about diversity and just not digging into any of the issues that we needed to get answers on. Now, the best 5 minutes was from Thomas Massie. The second best 5 minutes was from Matt Gaetz. Jim Jordan proposed some good questions but didn't get any answers. So maybe I'll try to find the full 5 minutes of Massie. I know that the full 5 minutes of Gaetz has been posted. But this thing has been a clown show. This I wouldn't say it was as bad as Monday's hearing. Monday's hearing was still much worse. But still, the fact that we have another hours-long hearing and we can't get any new information. They say he was connected to a laptop. We got that. Okay, he was connected to a laptop. They talked about what he was searching. Okay, suspicious stuff he was searching. But nothing about what led up to the near assassination of Donald Trump. All right, we got a new speaker here in the hearing. Let's go back live.
Oswald's grandson must complete his contract, end quote. The United States Secret Service and the FBI said they would investigate the matter. And 5 months later, no more information has been released. I've also visited with Mr. Trump, and he has not received any information either. Why is that?
So as I sit here right now, I'm not familiar with the specific investigation, but I do know that we have had, unfortunately, quite a few investigations of threatening mailings and white powder letters and things like that. So I'm happy to drill into it and have us circle back to you and see if there's more information we can share about it.
Thank you. And would you maybe circle back to the Mr. Trump, Donald Jr.? I think they'd like an update as well.
Sure. Let me, again, I don't, like I said, okay. I'm not familiar with the specifics, but I'm happy to have us look into it and get back to whoever we need to get back to.
Thank you. Next question. The Pittsburgh field office now handling the assassination attempt investigation. Is that right?
Well, there's several. There at Pittsburgh field office is the lead office. We obviously have lots of, I think it's about half.
Here's another piece of information. The state of Pennsylvania are handling the autopsy, and it's not finished. So that did come out earlier. That's relevant. The state of Pennsylvania is handling the autopsy, but it's not done yet.
This is the same office that botched the Hunter Biden laptop case. And they, in my view, and my constituents and many Americans, displayed a clear reluctance. That's a quote. Reluctance to really do any tasking, quote, effectively failing to investigate, according to the U.S. attorney on the case. My question is, how can we trust this office, and why does it keep reappearing in critical election-related investigations, or is that just dumb luck?
So I want to be a little bit careful in what I can say here, because some of what you're talking about relates to an ongoing investigation being led to by the special counsel, Mr. Weiss. But what I can tell you is that the Pittsburgh field office's involvement in the matter you're talking about was the choice to by the Attorney General Barr to have the U.S. Attorney and the FBI field office in Pittsburgh handle that particular matter. As to your summary or characterization of what U.S. Attorney, now former U.S. Attorney Brady, actually said, I'd have to see the whole context. I'm not quite sure that's what he said, but I think as to your overall question about confidence, what I would tell you is we have, that's the point I'm trying to make about the sheer breadth of our investigation. Yes,
the Bureau's district that covered up the Hunter Biden laptop is now investigating the assassination of Donald Trump. All right, great.
We are using the full might of the FBI, criminal and national security.
So, folks, we're about to go to a break here. And look, the FBI is supposedly in charge of this investigation now. But Secret Service, FBI, it doesn't even matter. They still don't even have a timeline, folks. The timeline that they're giving us, we've been able to maintain ourselves with just all the publicly available videos. They don't even know the official timeline of all of this stuff. Did he go on the roof with a gun? Did he go on the roof with a backpack? When was he first? I mean, it's just like, so the best we have is they had at least 10 minutes of a warning that there was a would-be shooter on the roof before they took him out. And that was after he fired 8 shots. I mean, come on.
This is a real attempt to turn America and the world around. This is a real attempt to stop World War III. This is a real attempt to save civilization for our children, because there's not just evil in the world, there's good as well. And so you've got to decide that that's happening and join it and promote it and support Trump and support us and spread the word, because that's what they fear is when you get a mission and you get committed and you take action. So tell everybody about the links at Real Alex Jones. Share the articles, share the videos, follow us at Real Alex Jones, and support us at drjonesnaturals.com with the great products. Support us at InfoWarsStore.com. Get things you need. It takes money to win a war. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. A big sale going on right now. Everybody needs nitric mousse. It cleans out your blood and flushes all this crap out. Everybody needs the nano silver toothpaste and products at drjonesnaturals.com. This is a war!
You know, working at InfoWars, you hear a lot of negative things about your place of work. One of the things they like to say about our supplements is we're snake oil salesmen. Well, folks, it ain't snake oil. It's fish oil, and it's incredibly good for you. Ultimate Fish Oil is now on sale, back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. If you only take one supplement, it's likely that's fish oil. It's probably the most popular supplement on Earth at this point for very good reason. People realize how good it is for them, and this is the best stuff on the market. Studies suggest that fish oils and fish oil supplements can slightly lower blood pressure, decrease the growth rate of plaque, and prevent cognitive decline. So whether you're a first-time fish oil shopper or whether you're somebody who has taken fish oil for a while and is looking for the best quality available, go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. It's going to sell out fast because that's what happens when you have fantastic products. Help us fight the global agenda and also improve your health with fish oil. InfoWarsStore.com.
My friends, Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere from all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents. Radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only two ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with Nascent Iodine. Looking to protect my family, I've done deep research. Nascent Iodine is the purest, cleanest, absolute best form of iodine to protect yourself and your family. It's made right here in the USA, completely non-GMO. I searched out the best quality and now have developed a double-strength form of Nascent Iodine, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Nascent Iodine is on record as one of the only safe ways to detox from fluoride poisoning. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high-quality Nascent Iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Bill Gates up toward that little chicken dick. You know how he walked? Like a demonic elf. Hey, Bill Gates. And Angelina Jolie going, children.
I am Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'm Piers Morgan. Ever seen a Cellini?
My name's Glenn Beck.
That's Hillary. Hold on, I'm Gary Johnson.
Hi, this is Barack Obama without my teleprompter. I was raised by the Ford Foundation and Carnegie Endowment.
Welcome to McDonald's. May I help you? I'm Bernie Sanders.
Chris Hayes' glasses like he's a little smart guy.
Rachel Maddow.
Thank you, Satan, for all your love. Signed, Sheryl Sandberg.
Job of the Hutt.
I'm the Amazing Randy.
I am Optimus Prime.
I am William F. Buckley of the Sun.
Visit InfoWarsStore.com today and be the reason we're still on the air.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Unmasking the elite's deceptions. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, we still got a ton of other breaking news. I mean, if you put a skid mark on a gay pride flag painted on a street, you get hit with a hate crime and could spend years in prison. The leftist protesters today were allowed to completely desecrate all of Washington, D.C., different memorials, and they took down an American flag and burned it and then put up a Palestinian flag. Do you think they will be facing hate crimes or anything else? We'll have that coming up. I think the hearing maybe is coming close to a close as Jim Jordan is about to speak. Let's go ahead.
Director, I guess I'm not clear exactly where all, you said there were eight shell casings on the roof, so eight bullets were fired. We obviously know that Mr. Compertori lost his life. Two other rally goers were injured, seriously injured, and then the one that hit President Trump. Does that account for, were some of these individuals hit multiple times? Where did all eight bullets go is, I guess, my question.
I don't have that in front of me. I'm happy to circle back and get that to you.
Oh, my gosh.
Assuming we have that information yet.
How do you not have that?
As I said, I think with respect to former President Trump, there's some question about whether or not it's a bullet or shrapnel that, you know, that hit his ear. So it's conceivable, although as I sit here right now, I don't
know what hit his ear.
Bullet, in addition to, you know, causing the grazing, could have also landed somewhere else. But I believe we've accounted for all of the shots and the cartridges. So let us get
and
that.
And it's my understanding that the very first one was the one that hit the president. Is that the very first shot, or is that not accurate?
I don't, as I sit here right now, I don't know the answer to that. I believe we know the answer to that. I just don't have it in front of me.
Okay.
Why don't you have that in front of you? That's what this hearing is about.
I mean, it seems to me that this bad guy, this shooter, was focused on President Trump. But you indicated that he purchased 50 rounds of ammunition, I believe, earlier that day. Do you have any indication thus far in your investigation that in addition to going after and trying to assassinate the former president, he was also looking to do a lot more damage to other individuals?
That's a hard question to answer. What I would say is I agree with you that his preparatory activity is what we've seen so far. The limited information that has been relevant and interesting mm-hmm. about his preparatory activity does seem to be that he had settled on former President Trump as a target and this rally as his moment to try to take a shot. But in addition to the 50 rounds, of course, you have the issue of these explosive devices.
Right.
And so what else he may have had in mind is something that I think is very much of an open question. On the one hand, you have these explosive devices, including the one still back in his home that wasn't in quite the same stage as the one in the vehicle. But he clearly had those explosive devices for some reason. And so we're trying to figure that out. As I've said before, you know, sometimes in these kind of situations, you find like a manifesto or something right. like that. It's frustrating to us, and I'm sure frustrating to you and the American people, that we haven't found anything quite like that. We'd love to have a roadmap that tells us exactly what he was thinking. We haven't found that yet. Doesn't mean we won't. We're looking all over the place, and we're going to leave no stone unturned.
Thank you. A gentleman from Texas is recognized.
So one of the most important pieces of information, and he can't give it.
Thank you, Director, for being here today. I know it's been a very long day, busy day on Capitol Hill, and also I want to apologize in advance if there's any repetitive questions from me. But I have to ask, given that our sitting president resigned from the campaign on Sunday and the Secret Service Director resigned yesterday, you don't plan on resigning anytime soon, do you, sir?
No, sir.
Good to go. Earlier today, you told this committee that you recovered 8 bullet cartridges from the roof next to the shooter. And given that testimony, I have 2 questions for you. How many shots were fired at President Trump, and how many shots were fired in total of the entire day? I know I keep hearing 8, but were there any more that were unaccounted for?
The best information I have right now is 8 shots. As to the sequence, I'm not sure I have that sitting here right now. As I said to the chairman, I'm going to go back to my team and see if we've got that nailed down yet. And if we have, I'm happy to share it with you and the rest of the committee.
Please do, sir. Thank you very much for that. You also mentioned that the shooter used encrypted messages to communicate. Specifically, do you know what apps or what apps he was using to communicate? And can you confirm if he was communicating with any foreign nationals through the encrypted messages?
So as to the names of the apps, I don't have that right here in front of me. As far as communicating with any foreign actors, I'll say 2 things. One, we haven't, as I think I've testified before, we have not, at the moment at least, identified any accomplices or co-conspirators, foreign or domestic. So that as to foreign contacts, of course, that's part of why we want to get access to the encrypted messages, because that might tell us whether he'd been in contact with somebody.
Thank you. Let's talk about motive. I know the FBI has taken a lead role in investigating the assassination on President Trump. Your team has searched the shooter's phone, conducted countless interviews, done extensive research into his motives. As of today, July 24th, 2024, do you and your team know the motive of the shooter or have any idea on what could have driven it?
Well, know and have any idea are two very different things.
Okay.
We do not know the motive. That is obviously one of the central questions in our investigation. And it's been very frustrating to us that a lot of the usual kind of low-hanging fruit places that we would find that have not yielded significant
yeah,
clues.
Yeah, no, we don't know the motive, just the left
having
calling
that,
him Hitler and racist and homophobic and going to destroy the country and everything. Yeah, but we don't know the motive.
And that in the period around July 6th, leading up to July 13th, He does seem to have become very focused on this particular rally and former President Trump. But exactly what his thought process was in doing that, that's something that's still very much under investigation.
I want to make something clear to the American people to try to help out what motive could be. And again, it's not my job to steer it, but here are some of my thoughts. I'm not sure about motive either, specifically, but I can tell you that after this assassination attempt, people on both sides have said that both parties need to tone down the rhetoric. But recently, just on Monday, in fact, President Biden called into the Harris campaign event and said that President Trump was a threat to democracy. Just take a look behind me at these photos. This is a magazine cover of the New Republic from June 2024, published just 1 month before the assassination attempt on President Trump. In a tweet explaining the cover, the New Republic said this: "Today, we at the New Republic think we can spend this election year in one of two ways. We could spend it debating whether Trump meets the 9 or 17 points that define fascism, or we could spend it saying he's damn close enough and we'd better fight. We unreservedly choose the latter course." Now, sir, I know you said that the FBI doesn't have a clear motive yet, and you've explained that, but in your professional experience as an investigator, do you think that language like this could radicalize someone to engage in political violence?
I certainly understand the point of the question. What I would tell you is that Respectfully, I don't think it's appropriate for me as FBI director to be characterizing or engaging in public commentary on specific people's rhetoric. And that's because it's not that I don't understand why you're raising the question, but I'm saying that in my role, I have to be very careful to make sure we speak through our work.
Oh, yeah. God forbid you tell the truth about the Democrats.
Products, not the
God
FBI
forbid
director.
You actually tell us what we already know.
Public square on different
why people. Anybody would want to kill Donald Trump, why they hate Donald Trump, and who's
for the record,
pushing that hate. I mean, God forbid.
On an American president, and I will be asking these same questions even if it were President Biden. And my message to the American people is that we need to do better. I yield back the rest of my time, and thank you for being here, sir. I know it's been a very long day.
Gentleman yields back.
All the Democrats have left the room, by the way. All of them.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, Director, for being here. Actually, it's refreshing. I was in the oversight hearing earlier this week, and although we don't have an idea on everything, your ability to come in here and actually give way more than Director Cheadle ever did is
way more is more than zero. So yeah,
bipartisan frustrations exhibited in that particular hearing. I'm sure you've seen part of it. I want to follow up on a couple of lines of questions that I had with Director Cheadle that she actually answered, which was remarkable.
All right, we're going to pause it right here, and we'll pick this back up. I mean, this is just—it's just utter frustration. Why can't we get answers? And what is this deal? The FBI is not above Congress. Congress is above the FBI. That's the flow of power here. You don't withhold the information from Congress. You give the information to Congress. What the hell is going on?
You know, when you look at the world where there's inflationary pressures and political chaos and geopolitical conflict and unsustainable debt and wars and rumors of wars and all this stuff.
We had a talk this week and you said, I'll do it because at the end of the day, we've got to warn people. But I get it. I'm the same. I'm a man. And a man doesn't talk about other people and how bad they are. He shows how good he is. But sometimes a man has got to also point out, like, they create nautical charts of there's a reef here, there's a sunken ship here. We've got to create charts for people so they know where the hazards are.
You want to protect people, and that's what.
Well, yeah, we don't go looking to whistleblow. We don't go looking, but when clear and present crime is being committed, we will become accomplices if we don't expose it.
You know, part of why we exist as a firm is to protect people from the imbalances that the government is causing because of inflation and higher interest rates. You know, we want to get people in the right place at the right time. Just because gold and silver are great investments right now doesn't mean that all gold and silver are good investments. There's rare coins and semi-rare coins that people overpay for. And I got to looking, and when you look at the CFTC, There's
no, but you called it on the show 2 months ago. You said they're about to bust these groups, but you're like, I don't be a troublemaker. Just wait for it, Alex. And then it's happened now. So
the CFTC and 30 states. So the regulators in 30 states are charging a Los Angeles precious metals dealer an ongoing $185 million fraud. What is the fraud? What are they doing? They're targeting the elderly with overpriced stuff. Right. So over 300% over spot price. It's like, what in the world? Triple spot price? Are you joking? This is very common in the industry that people will kind of fall for a song and dance, fancy story. Ooh, let's get this rare coin. Let's get this historical coin because it's non-confiscatable and it's dealer non-reportable and you don't have to report it on taxes, wink, wink, right? And this is where these are all lies. Ultimately, if the government wanted to confiscate something, they will confiscate it. It doesn't matter what it is, right? Now, number two, you always have to report your taxes. Always. If you don't, you're going to be jailbait. You'll go into some kind of IRS tax court, right? So gold and silver are an investment like any other investment in the sense of there's no escaping some of those things. But what's great about it is that they are private, right? That they are in the right place at the right time because of where we are globally and ounces in the markets with rising interest rates, rising inflation. Gold and silver just do really, really well right now.
People need to get into this because this is what the elites are doing. It's so simple. KEPM.com/gold. Kirk Elliott, PreciousMetals.com/gold. Go to that link. It gives the show support. Get the best deals. Call 720-605-3900. Tell them Alex Jones sent you. And to me, I only promote something that is an absolute no-brainer. You know you're getting wholesale price of silver and gold from a reputable, top-rated company that funds the InfoWar and isn't a wimp. You need to get gold and silver, but you need to get it from a good source. Go to KEPM.com/gold.
Viene una tormenta!
What did he just say?
He said there's a storm coming in.
I know.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, we're about to go back to this hearing. We were able to find the Massey line of questioning, but folks, I need to fund this place or we literally will not be on air. It's your support at InfoWars Store. All right, I'm just sorry. I'm really on one today because this is really frustrating to me. So I'm messing up my own microphone. All right, we're going to go back to this hearing here. I need to plug and I need to fund this place or this show literally will not be on air. So we hope you will support us by shopping at InfoWarsStore.com. And that's very important, especially considering this election cycle, how important it's going to be to keep InfoWars and our coverage on the air and this great team and these great guests, our audience, everything else. And so we make it easy because we have great products at InfoWarsStore.com. Folks, you want to get a good night's sleep. I want to get a good night's sleep. Everybody wants to get a good night's sleep, but sometimes it's hard considering how crazy the world is, how busy your life is. You got 100 things running through your head, you know, all the different issues that go on that lead to sleep problems. So we just come up with solutions. Now we have a whole line of products. It's InfoWars MD, a whole line of top level when it comes to quality supplements, InfoWars MD exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. But I'm telling you right now, if you're trying to get a good night's sleep and struggling, the product for you is Good Night Sleep. It's 25% off. It's Good Night Sleep. It's got everything you need that's known to help you get a good night's sleep. Magnesium, melatonin, and other herbs to help restore and promote a healthy sleep cycle. So when I need to get a good night's sleep, I go to the products at InfoWarsStore.com, like Good Night Sleep, to do so. And it's very important. It's very important for you to get a good night's sleep. It's very important for you to fund InfoWars to keep us on air, and we just make it easy. So who doesn't want to get a good night's sleep? Who doesn't want to have sleep support, especially when it's harder to sleep at night? I say, well, how do you sleep at night? Good night's sleep, InfoWarsStore.com. So that's just part of the InfoWars MD line. All InfoWars MD products, the entire line, 25% off right now. And that's just part of the Save InfoWars mega sale that's happening right now at InfoWarsStore.com. So help us stay on air in this important election cycle and get yourself a great product as well at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, let's go back live to the hearing. We do have the Massey sound. I got all kinds of other audio. Remember, folks, we're going to be live all night. We're going to be live all night. This is going to be extended coverage. Joe Biden is supposed to give a press conference tonight, his first press conference or his first address since dropping out of the race. Who knows what he's going to say or when he's going to show up, but we'll be live covering that deep into the night. So we have extended coverage tonight, but let's go back live to the hearing now.
Of, in some cases, double or triple the pace
of what
If I could finish, please. To a rate that is higher, you'd have to go back about a decade or so to find the number of Americans applying to be special agents that are currently applying.
Okay, so for the record, that 48,000 is probably wrong then in your eyes?
I don't know. I don't have the letter in front of me, but what I'm not sure of is that we're comparing apple to apple in terms of time periods and everything else.
In advance of the Trump shooting, United States Secret Service Special Agent in Charge Tim Burke reportedly told law enforcement partners that NATO summit in Washington, D.C. limited his resources available to the Trump rally. The service has similar DEI hiring aims and failed their zero-fail mission to protect President Trump. Director Cheadle has since stepped down. Could the hyperfixation on hitting Biden administration's imposed DEI rules by causing the FBI and the federal law enforcement agencies to not only miss their prime candidates, but also potential threats?
Well, I can't speak to Secret Service's hiring practice. What I can tell you is that, in my view, diversity, like everything else, is something that has to be done in the right way. Just like everything else, there's a right way and a wrong way to achieve it. I think we can.
Oh, yay, we need diversity.
Have achieved improvements.
We don't need answers about
at the same
who
time,
tried to kill Trump, but we need diversity. Yay.
We've been able to do that is because of the encouraging increase in the
Thank
number
you.
Of Americans applying to be special agents.
The investigation to the planting of pipe bombs at the RNC and DNC headquarters has been going on for over 3.5 years and will soon have lasted longer than the Biden presidency. I look forward to you proving yourselves because we haven't received any update right now on the Trump shooting since July 15th, and the people really need that. Can the public expect a more transparent and timely investigation into the attempted assassination of former President Trump?
I've been testifying here all day about the
yeah, no
investigation
answers.
Into former attempted assassination.
You've answered like maybe 10% of the questions.
Briefings, and I've answered multiple questions. I mean,
we appreciate that because,
okay,
it's, like
that's
I
what
said,
you were well, asking.
Well, it just seems like there hasn't been a press conference to the people to go through all the different details that were already presented today. And I'll just leave you with one final question. The government is not doing their job. Do you feel as the director that perhaps like not only the FBI but the Secret Service needs to have a complete reconstruction? Or do you think it's still put together the way that could best do its job?
The FBI that I see every single day, having visited all 56 of our field offices at least twice, many of them three times, the FBI that I see engaging with state and local law enforcement from all 50 states, that I hear about from prosecutors, judges, business leaders, community leaders, foreign partners, is an FBI that is respected, trusted, mm-hmm. appreciated, and that is there for people.
But you don't know where the counter sniper was that fired the shot.
That I see.
You don't know the trajectory of the bullets, but that, okay, yeah, yeah. Because how could you know that? How could you? Because you're doing such a great investigation.
Appreciate your time, sir. Thank yield you. Back to the chair.
Gentleman yields back. Director, I have just a couple quick questions, but I want to give to the ranking member a chance to save some remarks or questions, and then we'll be done.
Oh, is Nadler
Thank
back?
You, Mr. Chair. First, I'd like to say, as somebody when I grew up, I watched The Untouchables.
Oh,
and I think
Democrat
Elliot Ness
Cohen.
Would be proud of you. I don't know about J. Edgar Hoover, but Elliot Ness for sure. Let me ask you this. In Memphis.
Oh, we're talking TV shows now.
You
Sweet.
Put Memphis and Nashville's FBI together, kind of consolidated. And in one office, and we have, I know you've worked with our U.S. attorney and others to work on our crime situation there, and it's gotten better. But is this change in the FBI relationship there where we're not going to have an office necessary? Tell me how that's going to affect Memphis.
So I want to be very
clear.
We're
talking about Memphis now.
We're not leaving.
Run
Memphis.
By Democrats. One of the most dangerous cities in America, run by Democrats. We're talking about that now.
Songs are about people right. going to Memphis.
Nice. He's politically grandstanding now, trying to get reelected.
Recognizing population growth and the threat environment, we have instead taken, if you look across the state, instead of having two field offices in Knoxville and Memphis, we're creating a Tennessee division headquartered in the middle.
All right, let's just stop this and play the Thomas Massie clip. I don't need to talk about TV shows or Memphis, Tennessee. Here's Thomas Massie's line of questioning with Director Ray, and we'll go back for Jim Jordan's final questions.
Yields back. It is good to have Mr. Massie back with us today. Some of us had a chance to go to Kentucky over the last few weeks and visit with Thomas and his family and hear all kinds of wonderful stories about Rhonda. Amazing, amazing lady, gentle spirit, and we're glad to have Mr. Massie back with us. And the next 5 minutes belong to you, Congressman.
Thank you, Chairman. Director Ray, how many counter-snipers were present at the rally that day, and which of the counter-snipers took the shot that took out the would-be assassin?
I don't have the number of counter-snipers. I know it was a Secret Service counter-sniper who took the shot that eliminated the shooter. And we've conducted a number of interviews, including of him.
So was it one of the two that we see in the videos on top of the roof, or was it a different location that shot?
I'm afraid I don't have that at my fingertips here.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen,
you mentioned
pause this. Do you know how absurd that is? He doesn't know how many counter snipers were there. He doesn't know. How do you not know that? That's a basic thing that you should know more than 10 days later, and you're in charge of the investigation. We interviewed the man that took the kill shot that took down the would-be assassin. Oh, where was he located? I don't know. How do you not know that? By the way, President Trump has now called for the resignation of Christopher Wray. And just for not knowing those two pieces of information alone, he should resign. He doesn't know the trajectory of the shots fired. He doesn't know how many counter snipers were there. He doesn't know where the counter sniper was stationed that took down the would-be assassin. I mean, those are three pivotal pieces of information that they should know by now. And they probably do know by now. Why can't he give those pieces of information to the American people? Why does he not come prepared for this hearing with those basic pieces of information? So the most important pieces of information. I mean, if you had a list of 10 things, these are the most important things I need to come here with today. Those three things are certainly on there, certainly probably in the top five. And he doesn't even have these basic things. So just right there, that 30 seconds from Thomas Massie was the best part of the whole thing, with questions we need answers to, and he doesn't have them. And then we just heard Jim Jordan again. What were the trajectory of the 8 shots fired from the would-be assassin on the roof? Oh, we don't know. How do you not know? You have a crime scene. You have people that were hit. You have equipment that was hit, and you don't know that? Again, folks, that's basic FBI investigations.
My friends, Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere from all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents. Radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only two ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with Nascent Iodine. Looking to protect my family, I've done deep research. Nascent Iodine is the purest, cleanest, absolute best form of iodine to protect yourself and your family. It's made right here in the USA, completely non-GMO. I searched out the best quality and now have developed a double-strength form of Nascent Iodine, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Nascent Iodine is on record as one of the only safe ways to detox from fluoride poisoning. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high-quality Nascent Iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
We brought in a non-globalist paid actor and did a blind taste test between the mac and cheese from Storable Foods at InfoWarsStore.com and one of America's leading brands. These are the results.
Now go ahead and try the first macaroni and cheese to your right.
It literally smells like nothing.
Mm. What are your first thoughts?
Typical. Takes back to when the babysitter doesn't quite know how to make it like your mom makes it, so it's just not.
Let's move on to the one on your left.
See, this one actually smells like cheese. All right, do I have any on my fork here? Go buy
buy your storable food at InfoWarsStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Give me liberty.